You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is TechCetra, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths. To most of our younger listeners, the name Hindustan Computers Limited would probably mean nothing. But HCL is the company that was born back in 1970, and it's one of the biggest companies that India has ever created. In this episode, we are talking to Ajay Chaudhary, who was one of the six founders that HCL had back in those days. And little do people know, HCL originally started as a hardware manufacturer. Yes, it's one of the biggest IT services firms in the world today, but HCL's original goal was to build laptops, build hardware, and so on. And Ajay Chaudhary retired from HCL back in 2010, at which point he sort of disappeared from the scene for a while, and then he again returned quite recently as India started talking about hardware once again. So in this episode, we're talking to Mr. Chaudhary about his new book, which is called Just Aspire. And we're also talking to a man who knows the history of India's technological developments. And hence, there's a lot of history involved in what he's talking about. Ajay also mentions how our education systems need to change in order to promote hardware manufacturing and how India becomes what he calls a product nation. There's some news in here as well because he is also part of the India Semiconductor Mission, which approves the proposals that are coming for our upcoming chip fabs. It's an interesting episode. You should give it a listen. Ajay sir, welcome to TechCetra. This is the first time we have you here. Thanks a lot for joining.
Good to see you. Yeah.
See you too. So, you know, I wanted to start here. In 2010, you left HCL. You sort of took a break. You disappeared from the scene. And then when sort of this government started the entire manufacturing agenda, we again saw you return, right? I want to talk about the part in between. What was your thinking then? What is your thinking now? How did you return? And so on.
So basically, when I was leaving HCL, there were a few things in my mind. And the first most important thing was that I wanted to contribute back to startups. So very early when Indian Angel Network was being set up, the founders had asked me to join it. But then I was so busy with HCL that I just didn't have the time. So the moment I was leaving HCL, just before that, I joined Indian Angel Network and started investing into startups. And my whole objective was that I'll keep investing and mentoring startups. So that was my first area that I wanted to contribute. The second area that I had worked on was education. So at that time, I was the founder chairman of Hyderabad IIT. And I wanted to create a very different IIT because I had the opportunity to work with a fantastic director. And we felt that we needed to create an IIT which is different from others. And hence, we sort of looked at two things which were very critical in my mind. One was that typically from an IIT, you get nerds who come out. We didn't want nerds coming out of this IIT.
Yeah.
And the second thing was that all of the IIT guys are looking for jobs. Our thinking was that how can we create jobs rather than look for jobs? So two things we did. We started a minor in entrepreneurship for the first time in an IIT in India. And I started teaching there. And for the first 6-7 years, I taught the initial first class of the entrepreneurship program, which is Introduction to Entrepreneurship. And the second thing that we did was that we created a range of subjects which we wanted students to work on so that they just didn't remain single-minded mechanical engineers. So some of it was like music, dance, theater, literature, astrology, you know, all these kind of subjects we created. And these were credit-oriented subjects. So they got a credit when they actually did these subjects. Otherwise, the kids don't want to do anything which is not giving them credit.
Yeah.
So that strategy worked very, very well. And that's how I did the second piece. And following that, I got an opportunity to start Triple IT in Raipur, where the government came and said, we're starting something new. can you help us? So again, I was appointed chairman of IIIT in Raipur, and I got it started from scratch. So hired the director, got it going, and that's really what I was doing all those years. And definitely I kept an ear to the ground on what was happening in electronics, because that is my favorite area for so many years where I've contributed to the country. And I felt that things will start to change when the new government comes in. And interestingly, 2014, just before the new government came in, there was a meeting called by Narendra Modi and with DataQuest, and where he wanted us to tell him what should be done for India in terms of technology. So I sort of made a presentation on hardware, and I said that this is the opportunity and we must go and seize it. And that's how, you know, whole thing started from there, and then you know, one thing led to the other, and more has started happening in electronics. Yeah.
Let me quickly ask you here, when HCL first started, when the six of you started HCL, right, the plan was to build a hardware company. Yeah. You went to Singapore, you set up manufacturing. Yeah. For a while, if I'm not wrong, you were in China as well, right?
We used to sell system integration in China.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually it became that big IT services company, and the others came up and all of that, right? Yeah. And here we are again, more than maybe 20 years later, two, three decades later, and we are again saying hardware, right? We failed once, we didn't do it. What's changed now? Why are we again going after hardware?
You see, I think mistakenly the country assumed that if you are in the services business and software services business, it's very profitable and it'll continue to grow. No doubt about that. But we overlook the fact that electronics is really part of everything you can think of. There is no product that doesn't have electronics.
True.
Maybe a toothbrush, but even the new toothbrushes might have a
microprocessor. They're also electric, yeah.
So lots and lots of things have electronics, and the government's overlook the fact that we needed semiconductors as well as electronics to be focused on. And I had written many years ago, which was something that every bureaucrat and minister repeated, that the electronic import bill will become higher than the oil import bill. It all depends on the price of oil at a particular time. But really the whole objective was to open their mind to looking at electronics very deeply. And therefore, very, very clearly, what's happened in the last 5 to 7 years is that, again, there has been a lot of emphasis around electronics. And therefore, it's very good news that we today have a government that is really, really focused on electronics. Not in areas that I think it should be, but still it's there.
We'll come back to electronics. But, you know, in between, we have had robotics startups in India. We have had hardware startups we have had in India. But I think other than maybe Boat, we haven't had a really successful hardware startup from India, right? And you just wrote a book, Just Aspire. Yeah. And from the amount of the book I've gone through so far, you're basically telling people that, look, you need to have that aspiration.
Correct.
A before R is, I think,
correct,
your analogy.
A is greater than R.
Right? Yeah. A is greater than R. Yeah. So do you think that has been a problem with Indian hardware startups, that they probably do not have that aspiration, or they probably think too small?
I don't think that's the only reason. The reason is that everybody got carried away with the software story, including the government, including the startups, everybody. And they all felt that if they are either in the services business or the product business in software, that's the place to be. But they didn't realize how big the electronics market in India is alone. So, you know, everybody knows that in the next 3 to 4 years, our plan in India is going to be that we should be a 400 billion industry. Now, that's not small in any manner. And even when you compare it with software, the size is large. So this is something that the startups had no view on how to, you know, look at hardware. The second very critical aspect of all of this is that in no institute in the country, in electronics, you are taught how to make a product.
Yeah.
And that is a very big weakness. So that's something we need to even correct today. There are no BTech courses in VLSI design and BTech courses in electronics with product focus. They don't exist.
Yeah.
Last year, we started to do some work from EPIC, which is my foundation.
Hmm.
And we went to the various organizations who actually look at creating this. And AICTE, we went to them. They have now adopted VLSI design as part of a BTech program.
Hmm.
But I also want them to make a change in terms of adding product design to a BTech course.
Hmm.
And this is where hardware startups haven't really taken off because nobody's taught how to make a product.
Yeah. So what does that entail, making a product? We used to have these maker villages. Hyderabad has quite a few tinkerer maker villages and all of that, right? And but they haven't made it big.
You see, what's happened is that it's just a question of a intention to do something. And just maker villages alone don't make products.
Hmm.
We need much more knowledge.
Hmm.
You see, take any product. What do you need to know? You need to know design for bomb. That is, you must design in such a manner that you're not outpriced.
Hmm.
Then you need design for manufacturing so that you can actually manufacture that product. Then you need design for service so that you can service that product.
Hmm.
And then you need design for environment. You got to make sure that you don't leave e-waste around. So all these issues are not something that are there in any curriculum.
Hmm.
These are some things like, say, in HCL.
Hmm.
We created this inside our organization.
Hmm.
And we had the capability to do these things. And that's how we created products.
Hmm.
It's not that Indian products didn't exist. Indian products existed till about 15 odd years ago.
Hmm.
Till such time, the WTO kicked in, zero duty kicked in. You know, whole bunch of companies got destroyed. India was not prepared to accept global brands.
Yeah.
And so in the last 10 to 15 years, all our Indian brands have vanished and the Chinese have taken over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation.
Yeah.
People have been making products in India long, long ago. Even when HCL started, there were at least 30, 40 brands in electronics in different areas.
Yeah.
And they existed till about 15, 20 years ago.
Mm.
But they're all gone. So I think we need to redo all this and create a ecosystem which will encourage product design and product making.
Hmm.
Even when you look at a company like Boat, when they started, they went and picked up the product from China and branded it.
Yeah.
But nothing bad about it because they at least got a brand going. And now they're going to be designing and manufacturing in India. Their manufacturing has already started, but design is going to be happening. So I'm talking to them and encouraging them to do design in India so that we can actually create products here.
Hmm. Do you think those, in the original days of HCL, right? The License Raj time, the big problem was always you have to be this big company or with big funding and you get your license. Then those issues have been solved.
Those
right?
are also.
Those are no
those
longer.
Don't exist anymore. Because those days, the challenge also was money was not available. So today, money is available.
Mm.
However, if you look at the hardware startups, the VCs still don't provide money for hardware startups.
Mm.
That's a major change we need to bring around.
Mm.
So to overcome this, many years ago, I had recommended that we set up an electronic development fund, which was set up. It was supposed to be a 10,000 crore fund, out of which only 2,000 crores happened.
Yeah.
But that was given to CanBank to start the Electronic Development Fund. And from there, they invested into about 7 or 8 VCs who then invested into startups.
Yeah.
So some bit of that has happened.
Hmm.
Parallelly to this, Meti came up with this whole idea of setting up electropreneur parks in the country in association with some organizations like IESA.
Hmm.
So one big one was set up at Delhi University, which I've been mentoring.
Hmm.
And you'll be surprised that in the last 5 to 6 years, they created 50 products and 55 patents.
Hmm.
So these kind of things are possible.
Hmm.
But a clear change that we need to bring around is this whole thinking about making India a product nation in terms of hardware. We have done it in software.
Hmm.
We now need to move and do it in hardware. And that's my main area that I'm working on with my foundation. Because I want to see India move towards being a product nation.
Hmm. So, you know, sometimes when I talk to these younger entrepreneurs who are probably trying to do robotics or even consumer products for that matter, their biggest concern always is, look, nobody gives us money. Nobody believes in us. I know my product is good, but everybody is telling me there's no ROI or there's no scalability and all of that, right? So where it seems like it has become a chicken and egg problem, right? Is it a chicken and egg problem? Is it...
You know, it's been that... It's not that it's absolutely zero. Like this lovely company called Miko. Okay, they have created a beautiful product for the consumer market. It's totally designed and developed in India with huge bunch of software.
Hmm.
So I think all of this is possible if people are willing to take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And what is now happening is that very clearly the government has realized that if we do not make products in India, how are we going to feed the semiconductor plant? Yeah. We don't have any brands.
Hmm.
So unless there are Indian brands, you can't have the demand for semiconductors in India.
Hmm. Got it. You, since you brought up semiconductors, right? Whatever we do in semiconductors going forward, sometimes we hear that the demand will come from overseas. You just said that the demand has to come from India, right? How do these plants really get that demand going today then? We don't have the product companies in India today, right? And to set up, say, a Vedanta or whoever is setting up, they have to today get some orders in to say that, yes, I'll go do the work. So where will it come from?
You see, it's a critical aspect of creating a semiconductor ecosystem. You need to create the plants.
Hmm.
You also need to design chips in India.
Yeah.
You also need to make products. All three need to work together. So the missing piece was products till now. So I have had a discussion with different parts of the government.
Hmm.
And I've given them a white paper on why India should be a product nation.
Hmm.
And this has now been adopted by METI.
Okay.
And METI has now set up a task force with 10 very top people of the industry to actually create a pathway towards a product nation. And I think as that sort of progresses in the next 6 to 12 months, you should see a strategy coming out of the government on what they will give as support system for creating products in India. And I think startups have to be a very major part of it.
Mm.
One of the things that I believe very strongly is that we need to create the same ecosystem that China has.
Hmm.
China has this ecosystem of large number of design companies and product companies and manufacturing companies. We need all three.
Hmm.
We have manufacturing companies happening today. Very few product companies and hardly any design companies.
Hmm.
So around education and research institutes, we need to create what I call as design and startup villages. Pretty much like what MIT did, Imperial did, all of them created working together with education institutions.
Mm.
Because professors are required to actually make sure that the startups are really creating a correct product with a lot of technology knowledge.
Mm.
And also, some of the research students from PhD students should actually work within startups to help them and also gain practical knowledge of how products are created.
Hmm.
So an experiment like this, we started in the Electropreneur Park in Delhi University many years ago.
Hmm.
But somehow Delhi University never got deeply involved.
Hmm.
So recently we moved that Electropreneur Park into IIIT Delhi. And in IIIT Delhi, there is total acceptance from chairman, director and the faculty to actually work towards creating this startup and design village. So this is something that is now an experiment that we've already started through EPIC, and we are helping them set it up.
Hmm.
And our thinking is that around IIIT, already there are so many startups which have come as a result of the Electropreneur Park. We should have 50 to 100 startups come up there. We should have at least 5 to 10 design companies come up there, and that will create the ecosystem for hardware to take off.
Got it. When we talk about the EPIC Foundation, right, we have a bunch of industry bodies within the hardware and software ecosystem in India, right? What is the EPIC Foundation's goal then? How is the EPIC Foundation different? Are you focusing mostly on this kind of work, the students? And
EPIC Foundation was created as a not-for-profit, number one. So we don't have any vested interest. I'm not representing Hewlett-Packard or I'm not representing Acer. I'm representing nobody. I am representing India. My whole objective of Epic Foundation was to recreate the product area for India. And that's what we are after. Making India a product nation is the objective of Epic Foundation. So to do that, we have basically started to look at 8 or 10 products that typically are bought in large numbers in the government. So we said, okay, we'll do some initial interventions to show to people that it can be done. So for example, we picked up a tablet and we said, large amount of tablets are bought by education all over the country, both by state governments and central government. What happens today in those tablets is that they're not upgradable, not serviceable, they don't last more than 1.5 to 2 years.
Yeah.
And if we are going to buy a large number of tablets for students in class 4, class 5, class 6, etc., why do we need the more latest? So we want, the concept has to change of our thinking. Our thinking of the whole Western world is to buy and throw. That's not the Indian culture. Indian culture is buy and keep and see as long as they can use it. So our strategy in developing a tablet in India, working with a design company in Gurgaon, is to create a tablet which is long life and also replaceable, upgradable and repairable. So that at least 4 to 5 years cycle you get from the product. So that's one intervention that we have made. The other intervention that we have made is that when we started to look at LED bulbs, we make LED bulbs in crores. 80 odd crores of we make just 12 watt bulbs.
Yeah.
So what intervention can we make? So we looked at a particular driver chip that is required there. And that driver chip is fully imported from China, single source. So the manufacturers told us that if you can make this chip in India, then we will be willing to buy. And if you give us the same price and the same specifications. So we talked to all the 10 big manufacturers, got them to aggregate their demand and give that demand to one of the companies that we identified who will do the packaging of the chip in India. So what we have done is that with the packaging company, we went to a startup to design the chip. That design work has started. And we expect that design work to be completed in the next 2 to 3 months. After that, the wafers, there's no plant in India at the moment, so we'll have to import the wafers. But after that, the packaging will be done in India. So we expect that by first quarter, second quarter next year, this chip will be available to these companies. And can you imagine 80 crore chips will be produced? So these are the kind of interventions that we are wanting to do, where we're saying product to chip, we should identify areas where we can use our strengths as a country for design. And we can actually make a change towards making it more Indian.
So in chips, for example, you just said we don't have a plant yet. And of course, it's in the works. I know you're also part of the National Semiconductor Mission, right? We expected something to happen by March. We expected the approvals and all to come at least. But here we are in June and it doesn't seem to have moved, right? And you know it better than me. There are a lot of naysayers in this place who still don't believe India will be able to do chips specifically, right? What's your thinking on that? Why don't we have the, you know, clearances?
You see, this whole naysayers have been around for the last 20, 30 years, since the time I started talking about it. I talked about making semiconductors 20 years ago, and I wrote it in my report also to the government. And I also told them, and in one of my interviews with Mint also, I had said that one of the persons in intelligence committee in America made this big statement, and he said the next wars will be fought with semiconductors. It's true. It's going to happen. Now, if as a large country like India, with China nibbling at our borders, if we don't have a semiconductor industry, we're asking for trouble. Okay, so that's part one. I think issue of not doing doesn't exist anymore. The ISM is very clear that they want to make it happen. And the initial proposals that came to ISM were evaluated very deeply by the global Indians who are part of the committee who are looking at this. And in every proposal, I think they had some issues. They have been advising them on how to improve their proposals, and that's been going on for a while. The challenge of deciding this time is become much bigger. Because today, 50% is going to be paid by a central government, 20% is going to be paid by a state government, 70% of the capex will be actually paid by India.
Yeah.
So taking the decision is like a very, it's a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
So people in the government are going slow because they want to ensure that the ducks are lined up perfectly. If one is out of line, they won't take the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's taking long. But I think that's the right approach to take, because we must make sure that our first few plants are absolutely successful. And not only they should be making the product, they should be able to sell the product.
Hmm.
So the government has to look at the business plan of all these companies.
Yeah.
In that business plan, do they have a sales strategy? Do we have a proper packaging strategy? How are they going to actually make the final product?
Hmm.
So all those things are being looked at. And I think you should see some decisions, but not anywhere less than another 2 to 3 months.
Mm.
It'll happen. Mm. And I think what will also happen is that now the government has opened the doors and said, whoever wants to come can come.
Mm.
I believe there's more interest now. So I think things will look better as we go forward in the next 2 to 4 months.
Hmm. What are the key issues now with setting up chip plants and all? We've spoken about this before, that these old things that we talked about, right? India doesn't have water and...
Yeah, wo sab bekar ki baat.
All of that is possible. Done, right? So, where are we today? What are the issues we're trying to sort out today?
No, I think in any proposal that the government gets, there are 3 or 4 very critical issues. Number one, funding.
Hmm.
Number two, customer acquisition.
Hmm.
Number three, management quality.
Hmm.
Number four, technology.
Hmm.
And number five, experience in manufacturing.
Hmm.
All these must come together.
Hmm.
See, a plant of a silicon plant break even is not less than 20 years.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's very critical that you have an organization or a group that will actually have the staying power to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that makes it a very tough decision, because they have to evaluate this. And, you know, they've got finance guys, they've got all kinds of people in that committee.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm sure that they will be able to evaluate and tell each and every one of them where they are short in terms of their solution.
Got it. You know, even if, let's say, I mean, in the unlikely scenario that tomorrow the government okays a plant, right? The plant won't start in the next 5 years.
It'll take 4 to 5 years. If it's a silicon plant.
Exactly.
But if it's a compound semiconductor plant, in 1 to 2 years.
1 to 2 years, yeah. But what is this part of the entire hardware story that we can do quickly and we can start working on it? Is it the companies like Boat? Or
you see, this is where... What I have suggested in my white paper to the government is that let's identify 500 products, which we are importing in huge numbers. So if we know what is the import value today of those 100 products we should identify and go after them in the beginning. And then go to another 400, 500 products. Step by step, we should start making products in India. See, till yesterday, anybody who went to China wanted a product, went to China, got it designed, got it manufactured, brought it, labeled it and sold it.
Hmm.
Which is what Boat did in the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's not where we should be tomorrow. Because there's a trust deficit with China today.
Yeah.
And as a result, it's a great opportunity for India to occupy that position of a product nation. And I think number one is to make this whole program happen. And number two, we need also alliances.
Hmm.
And a very big ally in this whole effort can be Taiwan.
Hmm.
Because Taiwan helped create China as a product nation. Hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have formal relations with Taiwan, but we can do business-to-business relationships.
Hmm.
So I think we need to encourage a very strong relationship with Taiwan to be able to have a country partner who can actually help us in terms of creating this whole product piece on its own.
Got it. When you look at the ecosystem today, right, can you draw a parallel to what it was when you guys started with HCL and those computers, Hindustan Computers Limited, to most of our people who listen to podcasts today, If we tell them Hindustan Computers Limited, they probably don't even know it's HCL, right?
Yeah.
They probably haven't even seen those laptops. Could you draw a parallel to those days and today? How is product making different?
Nothing much has changed in making products. Really, what has changed from then to now is then there were no tools to make products.
Hmm.
Today, you have all the simulation tools to do the product development whole lot faster.
Hmm.
In those days, we used to actually make motherboards with wires hanging around all over the place. And they were called breadboard models.
Yeah.
You don't need all that anymore. You just need to be clear as to what you want to make and using simulation tools and design tools. There are very advanced design tools available for electronics today. Mm. Whether they are from, you know, Mentor Graphics and a whole bunch of these companies.
Mm.
And that's your process of design has dramatically changed from then to now.
Mm.
And the second thing is that those days when we started, no import of technology was allowed. Today you are allowed any piece of technology.
Mm.
And the third piece that's happened is that today's hardware has a lot of software.
Yeah.
And therefore, our strengths of software can be utilized to make hardware.
Hmm. Got it. And this will all have to start from our college level.
Yes. And the other thing that I think as a country, we need to look at very strongly is that we need to move away from low value added area to high value added area. Conceptually, in everything we do.
Hmm.
So if you look at manufacturing of electronics today, low value added. But if we actually design and make components in India, do value addition in India, you'll get higher margins. Today, manufacturing margin is 4%, 5%. In the moment you make products, your margins will go up to 30, 40%.
Yeah.
The same thing is true whether you look at software. Mm. Software, we started long ago into services.
Yeah.
Those days, the margins were high.
Mm.
Look at what's happened to margins today. Mm. From the 30, 40%, 6, 8 years ago, you are down to 19% average margins. So you are in the commodity business now,
yeah,
as far as services is concerned. In the last 10 years, we have moved from the commodity business to creating India as a software product nation. That's happened very, very well.
Hmm.
And so there are lots of products that are there today and a beautiful public digital infrastructure that we have created like UPI, etc., etc. So we've been very successful as a country in creating products in software. We now need to do the same in every area you can think of. It's not just electronics.
Hmm.
You look at, we are the largest diamond cutting industry in the world.
Hmm.
But where is the money? The money is in making the machine. Who makes the machine? China makes the machine. You see, so value addition is there, not here.
Yeah.
That's the change as a country we need to do to move away from low value added to high value added.
How long do you see all of this taking? When you make the sort of proposals to the government, or rather the recommendations that you make to the governments and all, how long do you see it taking for all of this entire ecosystem to be set up?
I think in the next 3 to 5 years, we should be well on our way to be a hardware product nation. And in the next 10 years, we should be also working on making a semiconductor product nation.
Hmm.
See, because you look at which is the highest value company out there today. NVIDIA,
yeah.
$1 trillion company.
Yeah.
It's a chip product company.
Yeah.
We don't have anything like this here. We need to create a micro NVIDIA, if nothing else.
Hmm.
And we need to make semiconductor products in addition to electronic products.
Hmm.
And that's where we should take the country.
But don't you think that those core IPs that US owns, the fact that Qualcomm and, you know, all of these companies are in the US, even ARM is a British company today, right? These IPs are not easy to break and make something.
I agree with you. But what stops us from being part of creating the standard?
Hmm.
You see, when you look at 5G or 4G, we created the products.
Hmm.
Look at what's happened recently. 16 companies, all startups, got together to create a company organization called Voice. They created a complete 4G stack. This 4G stack has been now tested by the government And they have now placed an order for 24,000 crores on Tata's, who will do the full system integration of this whole stack. It's like a software stack. It's become a hardware stack for telecom. 4G, we came late. 5G, we are working. But if you see, for the first time, we are part of the standards bodies of 6G. We were never in thinking like that before. We need to think like that. We should be in 7G, we should be in 8G, and we should be part of the standards bodies. And as we start to do things like that, then we get recognized for something that we'll be able to create. And who knows, you might see a chota NVIDIA happen or a chota ARM happen in India 10 years later. But if we don't get started, we won't get there.
Yeah. When they do a lot of their R&D here anyway.
Yes.
We
do, I mean, have people that don't know the number of products produced in India by the global companies are phenomenal. Today, there's $38 million of export taking place of design and engineering under NASCOM software numbers. They are hidden somewhere. But $38 million is a very small piece as compared to the real value of those products. Because they're only on a transfer price model.
Yeah.
They're not in the end price model. The product gets made here, the value gets added in America.
I'll end with one last question. You work with a lot of these companies, right? You work with virtual reality startups. You've worked with more than enough hardware companies. What are you telling them today when the questions that we discussed, all of these entrepreneurs have these questions, right? What is your advice that you're giving to them today?
I think what I'm telling them is that now they will see a change in the way the government looks at it and the way investors look at it. Things are changing. Today, you are getting a lot of investments into drones and space and all of that is happening. Those changes are happening. I actually have, from IIN Fund, we have invested in a lovely sort of space tech company in Hyderabad called Dhruva. They would be looking at a valuation of between 500 to 1,000 crores in a couple of years. That's not bad.
Yeah.
So these kind of things are likely to happen. And the more we do, the more success will come. It's just a question of now deciding that we want to do it.
Ajay, so thanks a lot for joining us on TechCetera.
Good to talk to you.
And that's it for this week's episode. Please do let me know what you thought of it and what else you would want me to cover. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Undertecker. Yes, you heard that right. That's UNDERTECHER. You can also give us feedback at HT Smartcast. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please do log on to htsmartcast.com and listen to all of our productions.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.